So the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Have you ever thought those words or said those words? Increase our faith. Jesus had delivered some what seemed to be difficult words. But yes, there is going to be some tough times ahead. He's telling the disciples, your faith will be challenged. But he's saying, woe to anyone who causes someone's faith to be challenged. And then he gives a graphic description of the punishment. It's a warning for Christians as well to not say or do things that might cause people out there to say something along the lines of, if that's the way God's representatives behave, I don't want any part of it. And then we also have the repeated command to forgive. Forgive someone repeatedly if they repent. When we think about forgiveness and offering forgiveness to someone, I think we all oftentimes feel that we somehow gain an edge over that person. I forgave you, you owe me, might be the way we think. And Jesus is saying that's not the way it is at all. In fact, when you forgive, you become that person's servant. You're to humble yourselves before others, to love them as I've loved you. All these things that the apostles heard seem to build, and it just becomes too much apparently, and they say, Lord, increase our faith. I think we even do it today where we think if we do things for the Lord or forgive or whatever it is, good deeds, that we somehow gain moral points. We somehow climb the ladder, if you will, to the Lord, that we do something. And I think as the apostles find out, and hopefully us too being reminded, is that, you know, there's absolutely nothing they can do. They realize that their faith is weak. They can't do it. The shocking lesson in all of this is that doesn't matter our good deeds. All of the things we do, the moral things and all of that, none of it puts God in debt to us. We're mere beggars before the Lord. Everything we have is a gift. It's a hard teaching, but it's an important one. Increase our faith, Lord. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright describes this section of Scripture like this. Jesus is quick to respond. It's not great faith you need. It's faith in a great God. Faith is like a window through which you see something. What matters is not whether the window is 6 inches or 6 feet high. What matters is the God that your faith is looking out on. If it's the Creator God, the God active in Jesus and the Spirit, then the tiniest little peephole, the tiniest little peephole of a window will give you access to power like you never dreamed of. Interesting words, aren't they? It's an interesting way to think about the mustard seed of faith, I believe. It's not the size of our faith. It's not something that we do and achieve and attain. It's where our faith is placed. faith in the Creator God. Think about the song we just sang. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. That's our challenge today. It's like the disciples weren't looking out a window at all towards the Lord, it doesn't seem, by their words. Lord, please increase our faith. Where was the focus? It was on them. Me. Help me, Lord. I can't do this on my own, Lord. But it's interesting, if we change our focus, what happens? That's our challenge today, I believe, in our lesson from this gospel reading. To change our focus. Who is our focus on? It makes me think about the John 15 chapter of fruit. I think, like the disciples, we often look at things, whether it's good deeds or whether it's following Jesus' hard teachings as the disciples heard, or whatever it is, we want that result. We go for that result. How can I get that result? And Jesus is saying, you got it all backwards. It's not about you. It's about where your focus is. Fruit should be a result or fruit of where we're planted, abiding in Him. Remember these words from John 15? Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Where's your focus today? Are you rooted in the Lord and in that relationship with the Lord? Listen to these words from David, Psalm 63. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Do we believe that? Your love is better than life? Or how about these words from Paul? I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Do we believe that? Better by far? To depart this life and to be with Jesus? Tough questions, aren't they? Here's a couple more. Is Jesus your number one priority in your life? Is Jesus your greatest desire? Those are tough questions. But that's where the answer is. And that's where our peace and our faith and all of who we are grows from this relationship of abiding in the Lord. Paul gives us a recipe for this relationship in Philippians 4. I think it's a great challenge for us today to think about where our focus is. Is it on ourselves and in our inability to do whatever? Or is it on this almighty, powerful God who can do anything? So Paul starts off with these words, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It must be pretty important because he said it twice. Rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks for who he is. What he has done. What better place to do that than here? Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Paul continues, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Where's his focus in these words? He's looking through a peephole, as it may be, but he's looking at Jesus, the powerful one. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that's the good news. Think about the difference between this response in comparison to the apostles. Paul's focus is single-minded on the Lord. His faith and trust, looking out, even if it's just a peephole, on the Lord. His relationship with the Lord, abiding in the Lord, and he has peace and power that transcends all human understanding. Compare that to the disciples. Fear, panic perhaps. Lord, increase our faith. Where's your focus today? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where do you think Paul's focus was when he wrote those words? Right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. His focus is on Jesus, the only one who fills that description. Keep your eyes of faith on Jesus. So I want to ask again, where's your focus today? Is it single-mindedly on him? On your relationship with him? Are you in his word? Are you in prayer? Are you gathering with others, building each other up, strengthening that faith? Where's your focus today? We'll close with this little story from Matthew 14. I bet you remember this one, but it really brings everything together. Peter walking on the water. Remember that story? Incredible story, but let's think about it from Peter's perspective. Matthew 14. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Can you imagine walking on the water, looking towards Jesus? Peter's doing this. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? In other words, where was your focus, Peter? I know that you can't walk on water, Peter. Remember who I am. I'm the Lord your God, and I can do anything. Keep your focus on me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.